This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We hope you've been staying warm and that you're taking good care of yourself out there. Do want to take just a moment and invite you out to our midweek service tonight, 7 p.m. We have a young adult class that meets at 7. We've got kids class that meets at 7. And then we have our adult Bible study. And like we introduced last week, we're doing a study on Moses and the book of Exodus. And we're using as our guide the book Exiting Egypt by Julie West, who was a guest on our program last week for two programs. You can get that book at bookshop.org. Is one of the places that you can buy it as online. It's a little bit different. I ordered an online version for myself as well. Little bit different format than what I'm accustomed to, but we're working our way through that. So I've got some hard copies. I've got digital copies, but we'd like to invite you out because there's a lot that is brought out in that book that can really be applicable to every one of us. And so hopefully we can see you tonight at 7 p.m., 165 North Grove Street. Tomorrow night is MI Island Youth, and that meets at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7:30 for all middle school and high school students, and that meets in the fellowship hall. And Harley, Capsudo Pastor Harley, is doing a great job in his ministry, and we greatly appreciate him. I want to take you back to 1 John chapter 4 today. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 17 through 21, and we may go back and just visit a few things here before we advance into material we haven't covered. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So we had talked about this verse some on yesterday's program, but I wanted to go back and revisit this because it talks about love is not motivated by fear. There's no fear in love. Fear, the lexicon defines it as an emotion that is elicited by a sense of alarm or danger or an anticipation of any negative experience. Fear tends to be a paralyzing agent for us, in that we're called to walk by faith. And because we walk by faith, we are walking in experiences that we haven't known before. So as adults, we operate with different expectations than what I see children operate in. So here a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I don't remember now exactly, I was working on a ladder, and my grandchildren happened to be there, and one of them's a little older than the other, and you know, he's there, I think, pretty sure this was at the church where I was doing this. It might have gone all the way back to taking down Christmas decorations. Anyway, he decides he wants to climb up and the ladder, and he does that. Well, his little brother saw him do that and said, well, if he can do it, I can do it. The difference is he's only one. And over the past several months, I've watched him as he relatively fearlessly tackles new adventures that he's never tried before. And so he actually started trying to climb the ladder, which got all sorts of attention and very close proximity from, you know, parents and grandparents to make sure that he didn't bite off more than he could chew. And, you know, no grandchildren were injured in this story on the Refresh Radio program. But they, that youngest grandchild says, if they can do it, I must be able to do it, even though they might not be equipped completely at the time. Their mindset is already filled with expectation that every day they are going to conquer some new adventure. What happens is the older we get, the more experience with failure we've had. And failure can be painful. And sometimes we say, I don't want to experience the pain, so I'm not going to make myself vulnerable. And if we're not careful, instead of reaching out to impact our world with the love of Jesus Christ, we start focusing on our own selves because we're afraid of failure. Abraham Lincoln, there are some stories that go around in leadership circles about all of the failures and disappointments he had experienced in his life before he got elected to be president and is looked upon as one of the greatest presidents the nation has ever had. But it came as a result of he just kept trying. The same thing could be said of Thomas Edison with his adventures with the light bulb and all of the different failures that had gone on. So fear has no place in love. And the word here for fear means the word for terror. It's not cautious, it's terror. And so there are people in our modern times, and the moniker that they are given is the word terrorist, because what they do is they instill terror in people and say, if you do not do what we want you to do, then there is going to be torment or punishment that happens, and all that is going on is not that, you know, the word phobia gets thrown around, and so if you have a different opinion than this group, all of a sudden you're labeled a phobe of that particular genre, you know, and so because there's philosophical differences, you can't just think differently than other people. They label you that you are completely and totally living in terror of them, when in actuality, we're just trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and speak the truth in love. Not afraid. Just don't agree. And so that's a difference between real fear and man-made phobia, is that, you know, people nowadays are not afraid to instill terror in people to try and get their mindset to be the majority mindset. Love says, I love you enough to tell you the truth. And I'm going to love you even when I don't approve of what you're doing or agree with what you're doing. I'm still there to love you. So the Bible describes that God loved us when we were his enemies. I'm going to pause there for just a moment. I wanted to read this quote from a biblical commentator named Adam Clark. He's a old-time commentator, and he describes that to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is the first and greatest commandment. It is first and greatest, and I just wanted to share this with you. I found it interesting. In its antiquity, it is the first and greatest in its antiquity, being as old as the world and engraved originally on our very nature. In its dignity, as directly and immediately proceeding from and referring to God. In its excellence, being the commandment of the new covenant and the very spirit of divine adoption. In its fruitfulness, because it is the root of all commandments and the fulfilling of the law. In its necessity, being absolutely indispensable. And lastly, in its duration, ever to be continued on earth and never to be discontinued in heaven. And so I just wanted you to know the law of love is not going anyplace. It's the kingdom of God. It's how the kingdom of God operates. And so I've tried to communicate this with people, and I use that term, tried to communicate, because I have been in some dialogues over the past several weeks with people that were experts in their field and I was a novice in their field. And their communication made an expectation out of me that I understood to the same degree of comfort with their dialogue that they have, because they're professionals at it. They're speaking a language they understand. I don't speak that language. And so there were some bumps in the road where the things that I heard and the things that they said meant two different things depending upon the familiarity with the lingo. If we're not careful as believers, we can think that we're doing a great job of communicating, but we're speaking with nuance and linguistics, words that maybe people around us don't understand. So if we're going to have a relationship with God and experience the rewards and the benefits thereof, we need to understand that God wants us to be in relationship with him because he loves us and we love him, not just based out of a fear of not wanting to go to hell or to the lake of fire. So, and people will say, well, you just said that there's no fear in love. Well, God has a very generous offer that he's made to us to forgive us our sins, to be the Lord of our life, and prepare a place for us that where he is, there we might be also. If we choose not to love him, we would the person who chooses not to love God here would be miserable in heaven because there has not been that transformation, and transformation has to take place in this life. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The righteousness of God is a perfect righteousness. And so rather than being like Adam and Eve, who hid themselves from God, and others who've ran from God like Jonah, we need to be people who are so in love with God that we are looking for the opportunity to have fellowship with him. And so God's not trying to terrorize you into a relationship with him. He's exhibited his great love for us, that while we were at war with him, he was trying to make reconciliation between us and him possible. Let's go back. Fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We talked about that it's we've not been made complete or mature or perfect. A relationship with God is to be faith and love-based, not fear-based. So we just talked about that. Relationships that are based on fear have not been completed or perfected or consecrated. Guys, let me talk to you for just a moment, because in a day and time where a significant portion of society is trying to tell us that there are not any differences between men and women, I want you to know that there are. And one of your wife's primary needs is to feel loved and to feel safe. And so I hope that you have been able to communicate those two messages adequately to your spouse. I love you, and I'm going to do everything I can to create a safe place. And in this era where unfaithfulness abounds, we need to create an environment of safety and love based upon a commitment to being faithful to our spouse. It's a huge thing. I remember hearing a preacher. He was very motivated about reaching his community, and he and his wife had a house, and he felt like God said, I want you to sell your house, and I want you to move into this apartment building. And he began to pray and said, God, you're going to have to talk to my wife about that, because she really loves the safety of having this house. And God spoke to her that he would keep her safe and the kingdom of God would grow. And that's exactly what happened. They began to lead many, many people in their apartment complex to the Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you the safest place that you can be is right in the center of God's will. That doesn't mean that there will not be adventure. It doesn't mean that there will not be faith involved. It just means that when we step out to do what God tells us to do, we will come to the completion of that journey with no regrets. No matter what the outcome looks like from a natural perspective. So, like I've told you before, in business, I had companies that I worked for, and, you know, they are results oriented in their leadership styles. And I knew companies that they'd say, hey, we're going to pay you really good, but every day could be your last day on the job. And, you know, I had to deal with that in my own life. And I pray that you realize that God is looking for a relationship with us where we're not living every moment as if we are not safe. God watches over us. You know, the Bible says he works all things together for the good of those that listen to this, because a lot of people only stop at that part. For those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In other words, we don't have to be completely fixated on the outcome. We just know that God's going to bring about his perfect will in that situation, because we love him and we've responded to the call of his purpose. Okay, let's look at him, verse number 19. We love him because he first loved us. Too many people are trying to live a life of love for others without having a love for God. Now, I need to tell you this. There were battles of deities, little d versus big D, in Israel. There was constantly this struggle between Baal and Yahweh. There were constantly vacillating back and forth, and Baal had much lower standards. Baal, you know, you could do whatever you wanted to, you know, just come and come to the temple there and do your thing, and everything would be okay, except for it wasn't okay with Yahweh. It wasn't okay with God. God says we love him, and the fact that he loved us first is what makes that possible. We love him because he first loved us. We are spiritually, emotionally incompetent to love the way that God loves in an unconditional manner until we have our relationship with God right. And no matter how long you've been a believer, we still need to be getting better. I pray that you have a doctorate degree in loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I pray you're working on your second and your third degree. I pray that you're just getting, you know, look at yourself as being on this ever journey of advancing to getting better at loving God because he first loved us. Verse number 20 says this: if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Now, I want to tell you that there are a lot of people who make verbal claims of loving God. What John writes here is that the words that come out of our mouth that we use to try and identify ourselves, that there needs to be actions that align with those statements. And a lot of times there's a disconnect. I think it's more than just words. I think the statements are actually the way that we live. So there's an old joke, and it said about an elderly couple. They had been married for decades and decades. They had a milestone anniversary, and the guy was just an old country guy, and he asked his wife what she wanted for their anniversary, and she said, I want us to go to counseling. And I want you to know that counseling is not a bad thing. I will tell you that the first several years of our marriage were a lot more challenging than they would have had to have been because of some unforeseen events that caused us not to be able to have the counseling that we were set up to get. Namely, I lost my job and had to move halfway across the country. That makes counseling a little difficult. So I would tell you that premarital counseling is a wonderful thing. I would also tell you that marital counseling is a wonderful thing. That every professional athlete that I've ever known of has a coach, and sometimes they have many coaches. They have, just because I'm going to put it into the realm of something I'm familiar with a little bit, and that is golf. They have swing coaches. They have physical strength coaches. They have putting coaches, chipping coaches, and they have mental coaches. And what a caddy for those professional athletes is not just someone who can carry the bag around, but a lot of times those professional athletes have attributed their success to the person that is on the bag that is helping them process everything, warning them of the dangers, giving them accurate information, and helping them. And so why would we think that in our endeavors that we could not benefit from having someone who say, hey, we could do better in this area? So I do that professionally. I look for insight and information from others. I do that in a lot of areas in my life. And in fact, I recently said, hey, you see anything that I could do different on the radio? Because I don't want to be an embarrassment to the kingdom. And so I pray, and I'm going to wrap this up here. We're starting to run out of time. I love God should be something that is spoken by our life, not just something that is spoken by our mouth. And the confession that I love God is going to show up in the way that we treat one another. That's where we'll be on tomorrow's program. So we'll pick up on verse number 20. But I hope that you have a great day. Hope that you experience the presence of the love of God, and you run the risk of loving those around you the way that God loves you. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Thank you.